Blog Talk Radio.
Sherry Edwards, one of your co-hosts. Richard is away today. He's at a conference. We do thank you guys for being here, and we have a wonderful show, a show that's going to get into your soul, because our special guest and friend is back with us, Jill Metz, and she's a composer, a painter, a channel, a musician, an author, a lecturer, a workshop leader, a friend. In a few minutes, we're going to bring her joyous energy on. She's always happy, always posting incredibly positive things about the world in my Facebook. And we're going to ask her how she gets that way and stays that way. We're broadcasting today on only Blog Talk, no WebEx. But you can go to Jill's, that's plural, jillswingsoflight.com. to find out more about our guests, her books, her recordings, her sound healing ministry, her classes, her lectures, her schedule. We'll be with her in a few minutes. We need to tell you that we're sponsored today by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health, and our newest project is about bio diet, and class starts on Monday. That's the professional class, and if you haven't signed up already, you've missed it, and I'm sorry, because we are giving away our $2,200 machine that you can tune in medications and stuff on for this December class. If you've already taken our two-day classes, they may let you in on Tuesday because Monday is just a review. But our newest project, lipodemia, like lymphedemia, but lipo, and it's about what they thought was obesity, and now they know that it is really just a problem with how the body uses fatty acid, and that creates a lot of lumpy fat tissue. So it's not about what you eat, but how you metabolize fatty acids. I'm really excited to get into that and create a software for it. We've created Sound Health Options for a variety of reasons, mainly to bring you information from the ancient side of things and the modern science of things so that you can make better decisions, more credible pathways for your life. And our guest, Jill Metzen, absolutely fits into both of those worlds. She is an extraordinary person and incredibly prolific with her books, her music, her paintings. She bridges the gap between science and ancient mysteries and psychic and channeling and science. It's kind of even hard to catch up with her and see all that she's done from time to time when I look at her website. She's written three books: Ancient Sounds, Modern Healing, Secret Sounds, Ultimate Healing, and The Lost Waves of Time. I love that title, The Lost Waves of Time. I don't know how many pieces of music she has created, probably hundreds. It is otherworldly. She incorporates the ideas of ancient sounds and ancient mysteries into modern music, and it makes her the notes and the melodies so unique and haunting, and people have reported miraculous healings. Jill, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sherry. And I must add that I largely became what I am because I was so enthralled with you being a master bridging both worlds and how you were to take stuff that I recognized as ancient and translated it into software and this bountiful array of blessings and benefits for the world. And I'm so honored to be here with you.
What a wonderful compliment. Thank you. You are so incredibly multi-talented. Plus, you're a wife and a mother, and it just boggles my mind that you get so much done. Tell me how this happened. How did you end up being a musician, a composer, an author, a lecturer? Where did you start? How'd you get here?
Well, when I was little, my mother's favorite name for me was Space Cadet. I was always kind of in the right brain and kind of a daydreamy kind of a child. I was also kind of, maybe naive, very positive. And I learned to follow my heart. And it's something really simple, and it's something everybody can do. And your heart's a really strong frequency. It's like 60 times as strong as your brainwave. And I would also pay attention to my feelings, and I would trust life. And I'll give you some stories, but trusting life's really hard because when life lessons come, and we all get rushed with a pile of garbage regularly, take our little garbage bags, all of us, is to not perceive some of the negative things in our life as horrible, but really kind of just a bend in the river. And you just need to kind of get around the bend and see what is the purpose of this troublesome or this challenge or this problem or this weirdness that you don't understand. Like, here's an example. Let me see. Maybe I was about 40, and I was at my son's, I don't know, you go to school and meet the teacher. And I was standing in line, and I had this really weird experience. I mean, the room froze. It was just like on TV. I mean, everybody was absolutely frozen except me. And then the teacher moved, and she was like a robot. And she said to me, "You have a beautiful voice." And then she went back, popped in place, and everything continued as normal. Now, I mean, I don't do drawings or anything like that, so normally when people have experiences like that, you can say, oh, I'm crazy, I'm a daydreamer, or whatever you want to do. I imagine that, but I know it was real. And it was very poignant for me because I was ashamed of my voice. I had tried to sing before. It was really terrible, and I never opened my mouth. And so I decided just simply to go with the flow and to just believe and to just trust, just to open my heart. And I decided to take voice lessons. And for the first 2 years, I mean, the teacher would like roll her eyes, and I was afraid she was going to stick her finger down my throat and pretend to gag when I sang. It was terrible. And then in about 2 years, my voice came in. I don't know how else to say it, but it's like I had a blockage, and all of a sudden, just within a short span, I had this gorgeous voice to sing, and it was just that I trusted, and everybody can trust, and everybody can believe, and that's just how it is. Like, I'm writing a book now, and I wanted to do it on one subject, but everybody kept giving me books and information, and I was dreaming about something else, so I said, okay, I'm going to trust, and now I got a book done in no time flat because it came to me.
So is this some kind of,
yeah? The new book?
Is this something you tap into? Or how, when you said it came to you, explain that so other people can do it too.
Alrighty, I just trust. Someone, somebody gives me a book. I figure nothing's by accident, so I take it seriously and I look at it. I get an odd email, or I go to check out an Amazon or something I haven't ordered. I don't necessarily jump to the conclusion it's a mistake. I take a look at it. So when and then I'll maybe go back and ask a question if something intrigues me. And, you know, it's like, or even when I get little emails from different people that are on my mailing list or something, sometimes if I follow my heart, some of them feel really good. And it's a little feeling. I'm just following my heart. And then I'll take a look at it, and I'll pay extra attention, and I'll get back to that person. And whenever I follow my heart or a good feeling, like love or a positive, and I get different feelings from different people, like everybody does. And when I follow the really good ones, it's like it's like you're on a treasure hunt, and there's candy or some treat, you know, when you follow it. But you have to just believe and trust, and that's what happens. Like, you know, when I paint, I just relax and calm and just do things I wouldn't think of doing, and almost like this energy comes through me and paints.
Do you see that as channeling or just being in the now? How can you explain it to people?
I think everybody channels. I just do it consciously. I think the word inspired means inspirited, and that there are, like Carl Jung, there's lots of positive energies out there, and we can tap into them. And the question is simply not to be fearful and to trust what feels good. And sometimes what feels good doesn't make any sense, and you feel like you're crazy. But if it feels good, then it is good. And just kind of follow that little path, and then allow yourself to feel. And it just kind of unfolds. That's how it works for me. Kind of easy peasy, actually.
For you, but a lot of people find this really hard. So what you're saying is you set everything up, you get your easel ready, you get your paints ready, and do you say to God, use me to create, or do you say,
yes,
I'm open now, let's create something?
I say a prayer before I do everything, yes.
Do you have to do anything special with your food or have a fan going or music going? Do you have to set the mood too?
That always enhances it. But not necessarily. So, you know, it's a matter of volume. It's like, I think right now I can hear, I can follow the flow. But when I wasn't as good, then those kind of things would help. But now I just kind of like tune in because I've done it a lot. And yes, it is. It's like life is a prayer. Just a big ongoing one.
We have a question from the audience. What do you do to keep the bad guys out?
Well, if you think of the Buddhist idea of religion is that, you know, there's good versus evil. And once you become all good, then you go above that, and that God is above that because God loves the sinner. God can forgive everything. God loves you unconditionally. God gives us free will, which means with free will we can harm another. So the bad guy, I'm usually not fearful of because on some level, it's just like a child who's made a mistake. And you can love that child who makes a mistake. Hey, I got kids and my kids misbehave. That doesn't mean I don't love them. I'm not proud of that moment. They've been bad in that moment. But it doesn't change at all how I feel. And I think if you look at, quote-unquote, bad guy and the evil things, and you can respond with love, it may not change them. But that lack of fear changes you. And
so
simply by carrying higher energies, you don't have to open your mouth. All you have to do is just carry the higher, just be that. And sometimes you'll change people just by walking in the room. Don't have to do nothing. Because some level they can pick up that energy.
So do you see the prayers that you do as your protection and for people not to be afraid?
I think that's a very helpful tool. A very
helpful
tool.
What's the weirdest thing that's ever come through you? I mean, did you move objects or you sat down and 12 hours later you had a book? I mean, what's this kind of thing like? What does it produce?
Well, let me see. Oh, there's so many weird things. Gee, Sherry, I'm so weird. Well, here's some of my paintings. I remember when I was 19, a force coming into the back of me, and my father took a photo of me. I remember that very clearly because I wasn't psychic at that time. But I remember that event. And then, again, about 40s, I found that old photo, and I just painted a portrait of myself. And then I went into trance, and I saw myself in the future. It was me who came, that force that went into me when I was 19, that was future me. And I was well aware of that, that for some reason me, who hasn't occurred yet in the future, went into me at 19 and put an energy. I painted it, and that will go to my grandchildren that aren't born yet, and I will communicate with them through that as a porthole.
Wow.
Kind of weird.
I love it, though. So people, a lot of people are saying that there's fear to open themselves up like that. So you're saying prayer does it. And the other thing that's being said here, and I used to teach this at the university, that being psychic is just natural. What you have to do to get there is just to take away all the things that stimulate the fear.
Right. And there's something to love in everyone, yeah.
Terry is saying, this is from chat, just like the presence of an antigen in our body is information that informs you of where you need to tune your frequency. That's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
Do you teach this in your workshops? I know you do workshops all over. Do you teach people to let go and let God, or how do you structure those workshops so people can come out the other side doing the things that you do so easily?
I, through my intuition and through knowledge of ancient practices and also channeling, I come up with exercises that raise your frequencies. And there's an issue of how fast you can raise and how powerful, you know, different exercises are and which ones might really trip your trigger. And I host a variety of them on simply raising your frequencies. If you can raise your frequencies through sound, through bioacoustics, through music, through the space in which you live, and there's many ways to do it that are non-traditional, and many traditional ways, through healthy eating, through the positive, surrounding yourself with positive people, through religions, lots of ways you can use to keep your energies positive if you're sincere about it. So I teach methods to take your whole consciousness, which I would say is your thinking pattern, feeling pattern, and health up. That's the idea in antiquity. And if the end result is you vibrate too high to even engage in fear, that's a byproduct. And by the way, I've now got a bunch of my classes online. I've got opened up a little sound healing school online so people can take a class anytime they want. And I have a sale going if you know the coupon code, and that is sound sale, one word.
How? Where is that on your site? The
Jill's Wings of Light. And I think it has like a sound healing school or something like that.
Sound healing, sound and light. I'm looking at the site. I'm looking at books, personal events and workshops.
Might have to refresh the browser. It's brand new, and it would be at the very top, like on the home page.
Home, articles, videos, store, sound healing school. Yes, mm-hmm. I see it, and your smiling face. All right, and there's the schedule and what it's all about. We'll get back to that and talk about it in a minute because there's a very interesting thing in chat. And it says, in other words, just do it, or seek and you shall find. And I always took that to mean, you know, you need something, go looking for it. But I think what you're describing is, it's in you, open a space for it, and it'll manifest.
Right. It's like you become it before it's happened. It's like you trust and you know. It's just like I used that really weird example when the room froze. I mean, you know, people think you're an idiot when you say something like that. Well, I really don't care because I've lost that fear. And I trusted that. And because I trusted that, I got a really nice gift. You know, it's like...
It's wonderful. Can we talk about some of these gifts and sciences and things that you do with your music? Like when you take the flower essences and put them in your music, how did that happen and what manifested?
It started off, I worked in a nursing home, and I was playing violin, live violin. And they hated happy music. In fact, you know, like I was lucky I didn't get hit by a cane or run over by a woman when I played light and fluffy happy stuff. They were left there. They were depressed, over-medicated. And they wanted to, like, feel bad. So I played whiny, piney stuff. I played stuff in their youth, but sad or angry music. And that's all I did because that's all they wanted. And after about 6 months, all these people that were frozen started talking. And at the end of the year, they were like Chatty Cathys. And I observed music catharsis. I observed them letting go of negative memories that were subconscious to them and regaining their emotional ability, their ability to care about the person next to them and have the next person care about them. It became unfrozen, and it was done with music. It was done in the right brain. It was done without even thinking of the circumstances. So I have these flower symphonies where I creatively create the music feeling like, you know, a virtue, like feeling like the music is like trust, like that symphony I built on a heartbeat, a literal taped heartbeat, ba-bum, ba-bum, because we trust that, we know that. And it makes you feel trusting. And then I put in the frequency of that flower, the flower remedy for trust. And then I created its lack of trust for the cathartic release. And I've learned that if you wish to release your garbage and you listen to these symphonies, your garbage will just come peeling off. But intent is also part of the formula. You need to want to release because you're more powerful than you know.
So if people want to release their old junk, what is the name of that album? Aren't there two that is Flower Essences that you have?
Yeah, The Healing Flowers, Volume 1 and Volume 2. And what I've learned, and Sherry, I learned this a lot from bioacoustics and from you, and, you know, we really dovetail here, and that is that you can numb yourself across the board. You can, and it's almost like we all have a numb switch when we get into pain, but the problem is that the numb switch numbs everything. You don't numb your pain. You numb your joy, you numb your support, you numb everything. And when people say, I can't feel this or I can't feel that, I don't feel the joy, or I don't know what I'm supposed to do, nothing feels good, that's because I'm numb. And, you know, life's pretty painful for everybody. So some method, and this is an easy, quick method, the Healing Flower Symphonies, to start to take off that garbage. Once you start to take off that garbage and begin to feel, first of all, you ingest, as you know, because I remember you showing me voice prints of people who had cancer and how they were kind of numbed. So when you start to regain all that full vibrancy and feelings, you can get back on the path and get in the flow again.
How does that happen? Does it go to their brain? Does it go to their DNA? Does it go to their cells?
Well, I believe that every feeling or thought is a frequency. It's an energy. It's subtle. It's quantum. But it's there. So, like, let's say we're worrying, and worry is the same frequency as something in your tummy, and through resonance, energy transfers on the same frequency. So if you worry a lot, you get an ulcer or a hole in your stomach. And in that example, something little tiny, like a worry, just, you know, if you accumulate it, it can bore a hole in matter. So you see in that example that anytime you feel something negative or exposed to something negative, goodness, go to the mall and pick up other people's moods, you house it within you in some quantum level. And so you're going to have a different type of frequencies housed in your liver than in your gallbladder, because they're different component frequencies. So that's how, I mean, we live in a world of duality. It's full of negativity. So we have negativity all the time. And in ancient people could see that, because they would be like a Donna Eden clairvoyant, and they could see this kind of negativity. They would have the clairvoyance, like you have the clairaudience. It's like super clairvoyance. And you could see when you clog, when you entertain a negative thought, how it starts to darken an organ. And it was a vision that I had from being able to see like that. And I saw them singing their body back into tune, because they could hear it and they could see it. And then I created the body, the Deep Wave Body Healing CD, kind of to bring that back. Easy peasy, just listen to it.
If people want to go the other direction, not in their past, but they want to be enlightened, what music have you created for that?
The Painter's Soul CDs and the Stardust CDs create white light in your aura. White light's really significant. As you know, by acoustics, when we're born, we come in with a personality or a color or a predominant musical note. It's all the same thing. Yet enlightenment is a balance of everything. So one thing, again, I learned from your bioacoustics is that I experimented toning. I would do my voice print, see where my deficits were on the nano voice, and then I would tone, and then I would slowly watch my body absorb frequencies. When you tone, you go like, ooh, you do all frequencies. But yet, after toning, it was like a smorgasbord. My body selectively picked out what it needed. So I thought, wow, the body's intelligent and it's conscious. So when you have music that gives you white light, and you can take Carilion Photography and see that the sound codes in both of these CDs produce white light, then your body can select what it needs for health. And where does the white light come from? The white light actually is come from these sound patterns that massage chakras above your head. So it's your own white light from a higher level. Just kind of like, you know, snowflakes on you.
In the aura of colors, all colors mixed together is white as light. And that's also the first biochemical of conception is ATP, and it is the frequency of white light. And for our new listeners, the nano voice that Jill is talking about is on our site, thesoundhealthoptions.com, under downloads, and there's easy to download flyers and posters so that you can look at each of the notes. We're going to ask Jill about this, but we have an important audience question. They want to know what sounds, what music they can play to get over the loss of a loved one. They say they're in deep grief and they would like to move beyond that.
Well, in the Angels and Masters CD, I have a rainbow garden. And this is like ancient ideas, and again, bioacoustics. This is stuff that Sherry's brought to the earth and as a gift. is that when you've lost a loved one, they would radiate a predominant frequency, and often that frequency completes us, literally, makes us healthy, literally. And we learn to lean on the stable dosage of the frequency from whom we love and then with. And so in the Angel and Masters, I have a musical garden, meditation kind of a thing, in which I'll go through the scale. I have music in pink, and I take the music and I shift it so that it's in the key signature of pink, meaning it has a high dose of pink in sound. And then I channel all the pink angels and masters. And then I go on to orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. So the rainbow is there. And your loved one, and again, this is in the Secret Sounds book, Ultimate Healing of Sherry's work. And there's a chart in there from Sherry that has your birth date and a probable frequency of your loved one. And you can listen to this meditation, and whichever one really trips your trigger, or which matches up to the frequency of your loved one, I would listen to and listen to and listen to and listen to. And that would ease the pain.
Oh, that's beautiful. So take the signature sound of the person you lost and listen to that as music, because that person really was that frequency or that sound. And
yeah,
it's not exactly their birthday. And there's a chart about these birthdays and frequencies in Jill's book that we're going to talk about. And we also have one on our site, again, under the nano downloads. Jill, your first book, Ancient Sounds, Modern Healing, did it have all of this stuff in it that we're talking about now?
That is a true bridge between modern sound healers and ancient methods. I was aiming for a more scientific audience, so the topics that I brought up, I would relate to how or what pieces of their process was covered by science. And it doesn't, crystal bowls, sweat and bowls are fabulous. They're very healing. But that's one aspect of healing with sound. And there's 1,000 aspects of healing with sound. And the Ancient Sounds Modern Healing book puts out how to use sound for learning disabilities, for emotional healing, for your health, to get energy, to go to sleep. It's a broad array of targeted benefits from sound that are easy and accessible and cheap. Cool. And then the Secret Sound Ultimate Healing, that's the book about Sherry's work. And I wrote it because the world needs to be changed by bioacoustics that Sherry has brought forth. It is the answer to global problems. It is the answer to my health problems. It is the science behind the use of sound as healing. And I wrote the book carefully to make it as easy to understand as possible, because there are concepts that are simply different than we have today, that they take a while to get used to. And I display them in Sherry's story so that you can see how it makes sense, the way that Sherry got information and followed the flow and developed bioacoustics. So it's easy to grasp. And then I go into the science and proving this piece and that piece and this piece and showing how it relates to other disciplines, to cholotherapy or research or and then how to use it, and also how to alter your voice from ancient ascended master teachings as another method of using sound to change your life.
I was astounded many years ago when Jill walked up to me at a conference in Columbus, Ohio, and said, "I'm going to write a book about you." And I didn't much understand that, because I I really didn't trust or know what I was doing. I was just kind of following whatever came up in my face. And many people had come to me and said, I'm going to write an article, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. But a few months later, Jill showed up with a book. And I was so honored and flabbergasted, and I can't even describe what it felt like. But I also felt very embarrassed, because here was something about me, and you're not supposed to brag about yourself, or at least in my generation, or not supposed to talk about yourself, and here I am doing that. But we put that book in our kit for all of our students, and we sell that book, and people are just, they react to it on a level that is intrinsic. It's gut level. They know the information. They just had not seen it written down anywhere. What was your motivation for writing that book, Jill?
I knew that your work would change the world, and that it will have far implications on health services and the uplifting of our world. And I knew I wanted to help you make that accessible and to support you in any way that I could. And I devoted a couple years of my life, actually, on that, and I'm honored to have done so.
Well, the first two chapters even bring in my childhood and how it seems like everything that's happened to me has led to this moment. And maybe everybody feels that way. The third chapter, you started into bringing all of the ancient ideas about sound and healing and where it comes from and all the different cultures. And that ended up leading to another book. But how does sound, how does that come through history from an ancient perspective? How did people know that sounds heal? How did that come about? How did we get here?
Well, I just read this neat discovery in antiquity. It is dated 10,500 to 13,000 years ago. Think about that. Most or oldest written histories are from, what, 4,000 BC. This is 10 to 13,000 years old. It's a palm text from India, southern India. And in that, it has a being that's, I don't know, perhaps not Homo sapiens, who knows, doesn't seem like it. And he talks about frequencies and how you can use them in music, architecture, poetry, dance. And he just describes like a creation theory and an atomic theory. And he then says and gives you the frequencies and the shapes, and he outlines the atomic creation theories. And then if you look at all the temples in India around this document, a good bunch of the temples show architecture that copy his creation theory. So I would say that this being, probably a very high-level being, talking about quantum energy, maybe 13,000 years ago, has documents and people have experienced the results from his technologies and suggestions, and they copy them and hand them down through the ages. And I also saw that in my vision when I created the Deep Wave Body CD. I saw these earlier beings, and they weren't Homo sapiens, this is just a vision I had, and they were so clairvoyant and clairaudient that they weren't smart, well, they could have been, but it was really obvious to them. Everything is energy, and that has a frequency and a color, and you can sing and use sound to alter it all. In the beginning was the word, and every religion creates sound with the creation. And so these are ancient ideas, very detailed explanations and technologies handed down through thousands of years. And that's how I believe the ancients got it, and then we totally lost it in the Dark Ages. Everything is gone.
We have a question from the audience. It says, do you believe that any of your channeling is a part of reincarnation when we rebody, and does this fit into this? My end of the question, does this fit into what you've just read?
Well, my personal beliefs are that the answer to that is yes. I do remember past lives, and I remember, so funny, I remember myself like in Atlantis hiding things from future generations of humans. And I have these visions when I'm in Atlantis, and I know that humanity is going to go down. We're going to get more and more selfish, and that we have to hide some of our powerful technologies because we could use them to harm ourselves. And I see myself creating locks to dimensions, and they're like sound color codes. And anyway, to make a long story short, now I'm starting to find some of those locks and sing and open them, and different energies come in. And maybe I'm crazy, but I follow and trust what I perceive and experience. So I'd say, from my personal opinion, certainly not fact, yes is an answer to that question. I feel that I am unlocking technologies that were hidden from mankind, and one of the energies or soul sources that hid them was me in another level.
This is another audience question. Can you connect epigenetics, in which Bruce Lipton says we can use our own internal energy, our field, to heal ourselves? Do you think that is just frequency at work from an internal perspective?
Absolutely. And the question is not, can we do it? I say absolutely we can. The question is one of power and how long it takes. Like, let's say we're in an accident and our head gets cut off in an instant. Well, we probably didn't have time to correct that one. And when you look at antiquity, they had some methods, like in the Egyptian pyramids. The doctors would come to someone who had an accident, and they would say whether or not the person got to live or die. And I, at first, was horrified. And I was thinking of pictures in the concentration camps where somebody would stand there and decide who got to die and to live as they came into the concentration camp. But it wasn't like that at all. It was a matter of time and dosage. How long will it take you to muster, create, maintain healing energy? And can you do that in a powerful enough way to help you in a timely fashion? So if we are in positive energy, we all know that equates to health. But the question is, can we maintain it in this world of duality? So a lot of things, and these are a lot of things I explain in my courses, my sound healing classes, simply come down to power. How fast can you do it?
Yeah, how? Hurry up and relax.
Yeah.
In your book, Lost Waves of Time, which I absolutely love, you go through many of the different cultures, how they looked at music, perceived music. It's fascinating. And it's fascinating that music was based on a number, 8 or 9 or whatever. We have plenty of time. So can you talk to us about what's in the Lost Waves of Time and how it pertains to us today, and then save some time to talk about your new book?
Okay. In the Lost Waves of Time, I perceive that it began when you had these civilizations and cultures that were perhaps not even Homo sapiens, that were a higher level. Think of an angel or a fairy, or think of an ET, you know, that's more advanced than we are. And they're using sound and music as a toolbox. They don't need sound to talk because they're telepathic. They, because they have sound hearing like you do, they can hear the sounds of tiny volumes. They can hear the music of the trees in the forest. So they don't even need to really create a music band for entertainment. You can hear it being created by nature. And then it's almost like that we chose to keep incarnating and be born in each great epic, because each great epic changed the number pattern that people heard. It's like we're a musical instrument, and each great epic strung us and made a different song on our harp that is us, and we got to experience a whole new world. And each world used sound and music as a tool to change everything, to use it as a police force, to use it to build, to use it to move heavy rocks, to change your consciousness, to rehabilitate a criminal, to grow your garden. I mean, wild things. And as you go through each culture, they're revealing techniques to benefit us that they spent thousands and thousands of years developing. And so you can kind of just roll through time and see the gamut of using energy expressed as music to do anything and everything and to transform you and uplift you and benefit you in every way. We are really literally a song. And it's just showing you that it's not just a song in this lifetime, but we're a song in many lifetimes, and humanity's a song. It's just, I don't know, it's a gift that was given to me that I give to others.
Jill honored me by sending me her book before it was published. It was in its raw stages. And I'm not easily moved by books and writing. Occasionally I am. Joanne White that we had on the show recently about handicapped children was another one that really moved me. But that's only two in about 20 years. But Jill's book, as I was reading it, tears were just rolling down my face. It had such truth in it, and I recognized it from my soul, from my cells, that this was true, and it was our inner lives and how we had spent them in Atlantis and how we'd ruined ourselves and by thinking we knew better than nature and what was going on. Somewhere, somebody's going to put the history of mankind into song of how we started with maybe one note, one or two notes colliding, and then a third note came in and created a fourth. And I think we have created our language, we've created our music in the image of how the universe was born. Can you see that in all of the ancient cultures that you've studied? That music
yes.
was really an intimate part?
Yes. Back to that palm text that I just talked about from southern India. It shows the creation theory, and it shows this ancient man's atomic theory, and it shows that creation occurred in different steps. First God moved, and or energy or consciousness was aware of itself. That would be step one. And in this text, it talks about that being a square wave. This is 13,000 years old, about being a square wave, and it talks about the spins of the atomic forms and how the continual spinning creates a more complicated shape. And then it goes through the elements. It shows you as creation continues, you know, this is the quantum energy underneath air and water. And it gives you tones and colors and shapes. And you look at the American Indians, the Chinese, the Hindus, all of these ancient cultures, they're using the elements, because the elements is the song of our universe. It's the song closest to God. And they say that as energy keeps on creating, everything is always harmonious with God, but not all the permutations are harmonious with each other. So like you might have one plant that doesn't like to grow next to another, for example. There's not everything in God's creation likes each other. But it underscores exactly what you said. And here's a text, and it's 10,000 to 13,000 years old.
Should we just sing what comes out and let that, no matter if it sounds crazy to anybody else, just be silly and open and sing whatever is going on.
Yeah. If you just start to hum and sing notes, you will start to hum and sing notes that you intrinsically need, and you're healing yourself. You just have to trust and not worry about what anybody else is thinking. And if you have positive and happy and joyful energy, you know, maybe they'll follow and jump in.
You just have to trust that the right thing happened?
Yes, even though it may not appear at the time. So when something negative happens to me, first thing I do is think of, okay, how am I being redirected? Who do I need to be to solve this? How do I need to change my energies?
Not what happened, but what you do about it is the important thing. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes. And who you become from it.
I want to leave some time at the end for you to talk about your new project. But every time you're with us, you bring us a surprise, an opportunity, a sale, a something. I don't want to wait till the end to do that because I think our audience will be excited about it. So did you bring some, I don't know if we call them offerings or surprises?
Yes. I have a huge sale. Most everything on my site is either 50% off or close to 50% off. So books and CDs, a very inexpensive way to alter your life, but now they're half price. So Secret Sounds and everything you ever wanted to learn about bioacoustics that can change the world. You can buy it and give it to your friends and keep passing along or put it in your libraries. And just trust that this is going to change the world, because it is. And we all need to take part in doing that. And also, my courses, I believe it's Sound Sale. If you go to buy a course and you put that in the little coupon box, there's a discount on every course for the month of December. Christmas present.
SoundSale. Sound Sale.
Yes. Yes.
We've had so many people come to us because we include your book to our students when they take our courses. And they're saying, Jill changed my life. I looked at things in a different perspective. I opened this avenue. So your book has already changed lives.
And I guess it's kind of like the flow. I would ask people to share it because bioacoustics, the sooner it gets developed, the quicker we bless our world.
I think it's ancient stuff. From reading what you have brought forth, what I'm doing, and I just stumbled about it, and then put the pieces together, it's almost backward science. It's ancient stuff just kind of coming through, and every time we need a new piece or I'm lost here and I don't know where to go, it just falls in my head. Like, not like I'm trying to explain what I'm going to have for supper, but like explaining what I already had for breakfast. It just flops in there, and then I just write it down, and then I get credit for it. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's like cosmic plagiarism. It's like you designed, I imagine, you design bioacoustics as a far advanced soul, and now you're bringing it back again.
Boy, that'd be an interesting life I'd like to look at.
And that's what's so exciting, because it's kind of like you just kind of go to good space, trust, open your heart up, and then pay attention to what you think and feel, and often the answer's there.
I've just reminded myself that I already did this past life and that I had forgotten about it because in that past life I failed to protect this work. I failed to get it to the public and I failed to protect it from whoever was in charge. So I can see where I'm going now. And that past life was more than 10 years ago. We have another comment from the chat. I've read her book. I passed it on, and they passed it on, and et cetera, et cetera. Never to be seen by me. That's what you need. That's why you need more than one copy and buy it while it's on sale. That's awesome. Jill, we have about 5 minutes left, and somebody has asked a question that I don't know if you can answer. But what is your concept of God? You keep talking about God. What is God to you?
To me, God is source energy, and God, all that is. And God can take, my view of God is a reflection of who I am. I believe that I can make God in any image. And if I make him, let's say, in a mean God, like the Old Testament, then, of course, what do I become? But to me, the challenge, since God's everything, is to pick out a view of God, and I guess it doesn't matter whether it's accurate or not. It's just that once you pick out who God is, how does that reflect on you? So part of the reason I got into antiquity, no, the last reason I got into antiquity, was to look at their views of God throughout the ages and pick the highest view that one could think of energy or humanity or all that is. Because I believed that the better I could conceive, even if it wasn't real, the better I could perceive or think of God, that in turn made me who I am. I don't know if that helps.
I think it does. We have a very long chat here, and it says something like this. That if your arm did something wrong, you wouldn't cut it off because the arm did something wrong, because that's part of you and it would hurt you. And if we could all see everyone and everything in the universe that way, we would quit trying to punish and harm others. I think that's a very profound thing. Thank you for sending me that private chat.
And it's beautiful, and it also reflects ancient wisdom. Beautiful.
And is that more ancient wisdoms in your new books or your new plans, your new projects you're doing?
Well, I was planning on writing other books, but what I was given that I'm writing next is taking music and translating it into decorating your house and your home. Because music and the space you live in are the two strongest ways to accumulate energy and to alter yourself. We don't always necessarily notice that, but when we use our willpower to transform ourselves, we take like one step forward and one step back. But when we have enlightening music and enlightening space that actually creates frequencies and music, if we know what we're doing, that we can take the fast track. And humanity at this time meets many people on the fast track.
Okay, I sort of have an idea. Is this like somebody with a heart condition would need burgundies and red in their house?
Yes.
Because
and what shapes and what fabrics and what materials? Yes, exactly.
What an awesome, awesome idea. Do you have a working title yet? When's it going to come out?
I don't. Hopefully this spring. You know, it's another one of those cosmic plagiarism things. It was given to me, and I get to sign my name.
Been there. It just falls in, and you scramble to write it down and get all the pieces together.
Uh-huh.
Jill, it has been a joy to learn about you and how all of this came to you, and thank you for sharing it with people. I think maybe because you had the courage to do it, they may have the courage to just sit down and receive. And that's how you're describing your life, mm-hmm. and what a beautiful life, what beautiful books you have written. I highly, highly recommend The Lost Waves of Time. Or if somebody wants to know about how bioacoustics came about, even from the little cabin that I lived in and all of the things that I don't tell in public, I told them to Jill, and she put them in the book. So if you want to know more about human bioacoustics and how it came about, you want to know more about Jill's Wings of Light, I highly recommend that you go to her classes. One of the things that happens in her classes, I've had many people tell me, is Jill is so open with her energy that it just oozes out into them, and then they can become more joyous and peaceful and graceful like she is. That's how people describe her, as joyous and graceful in her thoughts and deeds. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jill, for being with us. Thank you, audience. And we are going to have this up on Blog Talk in about a half hour or so. Look for it, just Blog Talk Radio under Sherry Edwards. Or you can go to soundhealthoptions.com to radio, to Blog Talk, and down on the left, it will be there with Jill's name. So if you want to listen to this again, it was power-packed. Jill, did I make you upset?
No, not at all. You're very kind and generous, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
I thought I heard you sniffing like I made you cry or something.
You're very kind.
Thank all of you for being here. Jill, when your book comes out, please come back. Okay. Let us know, and I'd love to read that one, too. Before it's launched, I love getting all the good stuff up front. I'm just selfish.
Sweet music to everyone.
Sweet music to everyone. Is that what you said? How beautiful. Yes. We'll see you later.
Okay. Bye bye. Blessings.
Blessings.